Advocates for the poor say one reason it is so difficult for many people to get out of poverty is that they have to pay more for basic goods and services than middle-class people do. Even money can be more expensive. Increasingly, people living on the margins are relying on pawnbrokers and check-cashing shops in place of traditional banks. John Bewin of Minnesota Public Radio traveled to Georgia, where low-income people who get loans from so-called fringe banks pay as much as 300% interest.
Tifton is a town of about 17,000 in South Georgia's cotton country. It's the seat of Tift County, where in the last census, 23% of the population lived below the poverty line. Celeste Sneed is a single mother who works part-time at the local Prestolite spark plug factory. She says she would work full-time if she could get the hours.
I make $5 an hour. I pay my rent. 1 week I pay my rent. 1 week I pay my light bill. And I got two children, you know. My daughter chose to live with her father, that because he had so much money, you know. Mother didn't have nothing.
Sneed has no bank account and no credit cards. So when she needs a few extra dollars to get through until payday, she walks to Ace Pawn Shop on Tifton's main street. She pawned her television set for $30 2 months ago. Many northern states limit pawn shop interest rates to 3% a month or 36% a year. In the South, laws are much more lenient. Georgia allows the highest pawn shop interest rates, 25% a month, or an annual equivalent of 300%, although the rate drops in half after 3 months. Celeste Sneed pays interest of $7.50 a month on her $30 loan, compared with the 50 cents a month she'd pay if she owed $30 on a 20% credit card. When asked about the interest she's paying on her pawned television, Sneed can't quote a figure.
It's not no high rate, you know. I mean, I can live with, deal with it. All my friends, like I told them, you know, if you got anything, you know, because it's going to come a time when you're going to fall. You got anything, Ace is the place to be.
Okay, come in, Miss Celeste.
Sneed made one interest payment last month. That prevented the pawn shop from putting her TV up for sale. Now she's past due on her next payment, and she's come to ask the owner of Ace Pawn, Becky Jordan, for extra time.
You know, I ain't come pay but one time.
Right.
But anyway,
when you gonna come pay?
Let me come in Friday. I'll tell you about it, because I don't want to.
Becky Jordan and her husband have owned Ace Pawn for 25 years. Jordan says most of her customers are regulars like Celeste Sneed, people of modest means who've pawned their belongings and bought them back many times. Jordan says it's good for business to give customers extra time to make an interest payment or reclaim their pawned property.
And if you get it,
if you pull it and display it, you've lost a customer. They don't have it to pawn again. So you're really better off getting the interest, even if you wait a few days.
Over the years, though, many customers have not come back. The shop's shelves and glass cases are jammed with hunting rifles, electronic equipment, jewelry, and handguns. Despite her shop's high interest rates, Becky Jordan claims she makes less money than she once earned as a school teacher.
No, you don't get rich. I think maybe years ago, when we were in the only game in town, it was a lot better. But it's not anymore.
Until 12 years ago, Ace was the only pawn shop in Tifton. Now the small town has 9 pawn shops, one for every 2,000 residents. Around the corner at Ham's Gun and Pawn, owner Bob Hammond says business is pretty good.
We make money or we wouldn't be here.
Hammond says there's no mystery why pawn shops keep opening, including 2 new ones in Tifton in the past year.
That's always the way it's been. If anybody starts a business and has partly successful in it, then you have a gang of them get in it.
We've seen a booming growth in pawn shops, check cashing outlets, and rent-to-owns, a variety of businesses that specialize in serving people with impaired credit records or people with no financial savings.
John Caskey is an economist at Swarthmore College and author of Fringe Banking, a book on pawn shops and check cashing outlets. The number of pawn and check cashing shops has doubled in just a decade. The pawn shop boom is concentrated in the South, where higher interest rate limits allow shops to operate profitably with a small customer base. Check cashers are sprouting up more evenly across the country. They cash payroll and government assistance checks for a fee and sell money orders and money wiring services. Like pawn shops, they're expensive. Kasky says low-income people who rely on check cashing shops can pay up to 10 times what similar services cost at a bank. Kasky says the biggest reason for the growth in fringe banking is the stagnating or declining wages of low-income workers over the past 15 years.
That's meant that we've had a larger share of the population that basically lives from paycheck to paycheck with no financial savings, and often because of that, they have impaired credit records. That is, when you have no financial margin of safety, some little event happens in your life, you can't pay all your bills, your credit record gets impaired, you're no longer eligible to carry a credit card and pass traditional credit screening mechanisms.
In a survey of households earning less than $25,000, Kasky found 1 in 4 had no bank account. Federal Reserve Bank figures show the number of households with no bank account increased from 7 million in 1977 to 12 million in 1992.
I just cash my money and make the money and take it home and pay what I need to pay. No, I don't need a bank for that.
Ombre, who wouldn't give his last name, cashes his checks from his fast food job at an Ace check-cashing chain store in suburban Atlanta. He says he could have a checking account, and he understands he's paying more at the check-cashing shop, but he simply doesn't like banks.
Banks have monthly charges and all that, you know, and then you put money in the bank. It don't be where you want it when you need it.
Some consumer groups say banks have chased away low-income customers by closing branch offices in poor neighborhoods and raising fees. Janice Shields of the U.S. Public Interest Research Group authored a study that found while banks have enjoyed record profits each of the past 4 years, bank fees increased at twice the rate of inflation.
So what I've identified, and the banks keep confirming with their practices, is a three-part strategy with respect to bank fees. One, banks are increasing existing fees. Two, banks are inventing new fees. And three, banks are making it more difficult to avoid fees by doing things like increasing the minimum balance to avoid fees.
Shields says many low-income people have been burned by banks, for example, by overdraft charges of up to $30. But Virginia McGuire, a spokesman for the American Bankers Association, points out banks are still much cheaper than pawn shops and check cashers. She argues most people without bank accounts could do business with banks if they chose to.
There have been surveys done, and it's been pretty consistent that there is a proportion of the public that simply doesn't want an account. They prefer to deal in cash, or they simply don't feel they have enough money or transactions to make it worthwhile. And the banking industry has a challenge to educate the public that there are a wide variety of accounts available, and that the pricing is often very affordable for lower-income people or just people who don't need a full-service account and are just looking for something fairly inexpensive to do some basic kinds of things.
Banks have consistently fought legislation requiring them to provide no-frills accounts that cost little or nothing, arguing they're already overregulated. McGuire says some banks are starting to reach out more actively to low-income customers. At the same time, some big banks and finance companies are investing in fringe banking. American Express is a major backer of the Ace check-cashing chain. Along with money from mainstream financial sources, some pawnbrokers and check-cashers are cleaning up their seedy image.
In my store, everything has a place, every place has a thing. You know, I like for it to be organized, I don't like for it to look like, per se, the image of a pawn shop.
The Cash America store that Fred Miller manages in the Atlanta suburb of Decatur is as brightly lit and freshly painted as a modern electronics store. Cash America is the nation's first and largest pawn shop chain. Founded in Texas in 1983, Cash America now owns 378 shops, most in the southern U.S., with a few in Sweden and Great Britain. Investors trade Cash America stock on the NASDAQ. The company earned almost $13 million last year on $250 million in revenues. Founder and CEO Jack Doherty says it's wrong to compare what he calls pawn service charges with the interest rates charged by banks, because pawn shops provide a unique service: small, short-term loans backed by personal property with no credit check and no risk to the customer's credit rating.
If I make a deal with someone and I can't pick my watch up, this guy's not mad at me, and he hadn't published my name somewhere, and he hadn't caused a bunch of other people to think badly of me. all he's done is sold my watch, and if I want another watch, well, I'll ask him if he can make me a good deal on another one.
Swarthmore economist Caskey agrees with Doherty that even in states with interest rates of 2 and 300%, pawnbrokers are not necessarily overcharging their customers. Caskey points out the average pawn loan is only $70, but requires as much paperwork as a much larger bank loan.
It's an expensive business relative to the size of the loan, and that explains these very high interest rates.
Caskey says the 36% limit on pawn interest rates in the Northeast may seem more friendly to consumers than Georgia's 300% rate, but it's not that simple. He cites New York State, where the 36% annual limit makes it hard for pawn shops to survive unless they have a big clientele. The entire state of New York has only 75 pawn shops, one-tenth the number in Georgia, and New York shops make loans only on jewelry, not TVs or other objects that take up expensive storage space.
There's a trade-off there. If you happen to live next to one of the surviving pawn shops and you regularly pawn jewelry, you're definitely better off under the New York regulations. On the other hand, let's say you're living out in far reaches of Staten Island, you now have to travel all the way into Manhattan to try to pawn something.
Caskey says check cashers, too, provide an important service and their fees are generally fair. He supports regulations that require fringe banks to disclose their fees and pay for lost property, and he agrees with consumer groups that traditional banks should be required to provide low-cost accounts. Caskey says the best way to prevent poor people from being hurt by the high cost of fringe banks is to strengthen the earned income tax credit, putting more money in the pockets of the working poor so they'll feel comfortable dealing with traditional banks. And he says schools should provide more consumer education to help people with little financial experience make smart choices. For National Public Radio, I'm John Biewen.